This is the Gas House Gang on 104.1 FM KMOX.
Sponsored by Salika Heating and Cooling, a Daikin Comfort dealer. And by Overhead Door Company of St. Louis and Chesterfield Fence and Deck.
Now, the Gas House Gang on KMOX.
Like KMOX veteran now. We're just jumping in here. He's been with you already for a half hour. Tom Ackerman with you from this fantastic Rally House location. I was telling them when I walked in that this is my daughter's spot to buy gear. She's been going here longer than I have. I mean, Erica loves this place. She's probably in the car right now. She's taking Nana to lunch. We got to get her and Nana to come over here and buy some gear.
Yeah, man.
Rally House on Eager Road, 8550 Eager Road. This is a great spot, Brentwood Point location. So the Gas House Gang, I believe this is the first time that the Gas House Gang has gone on the road. Now, we've been at Cardinals Nation. We've been at Busch Stadium, you know, here and there doing some abbreviated shows. But this is the first time we've taken this baby on the road. And I'm just going to put it out there. I think this is cool. I was listening to you guys on the way in. It gave me the old feelings of doing remote broadcasts
Love
at different
them.
Locations. I'm just going to put it out there. The Gas House Gang will go on the road. And here we are. In not far from my house, by the way. I love the Brentwood area. Is awesome.
Yeah,
there's all
That's
kinds
why
of
you
stuff
like
going
it.
On.
Yeah.
Oh,
you
yeah,
rolled out of bed and you got here.
I stopped home, played with the dogs, and here we are. It's great to be with Matt Adams. I mean, I know he was on your show already, but to reintroduce him to the Gas House Gang audience, here is a guy who, when he came in, this is my favorite thing about you, and we'll talk about. I heard you talk about the Kershaw home run and all that stuff. But one of my favorite things was Mike Shannon brought me up to the booth. In spring training, he said, I want to do an inning with you. And I said, oh, my gosh, Mike, yeah, that would be incredible. I can't wait. And he said, I want to talk about Matt Adams. Because, he said, you've been following this. This is when you were a minor leaguer. He said, you've been following this team. I know you've been watching all these guys. I want to know more about this guy. Will you come up and talk about him? I said, yeah.
No way. That's awesome.
Roger Dean Stadium. And the inning was about you. He wanted to know about Matt Adams. This was pre-Big City. This was pre-nickname. And I know you had so much respect for him.
Yeah, I mean, Mike was awesome. But, like, that's just a guy, like, the Cardinals get it. Like, to have people like that in the organization talking about, you know, the organization, the players coming up, whether they're minor leaguers, whether they're already proven big leaguers, he just got it. He was easy to talk to. He was always around the team. You know, he was so welcoming and, like, just an awesome, awesome guy.
He was just curious, who's this bat?
Yeah.
He keep hearing about. And
what a cool story. That's awesome.
Yeah, and you had a great spring. I mean, you really did. And eventually you made the club. I believe you came in when Berkman got hurt,
yep.
If I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, in 12, yeah. Berkman had the knee injury, and I was up for only a month because Craig was on the IL a little bit. Karp was a little bit banged up, so I came up for a month, filled in. Didn't do as well as I wanted to, but it was awesome to make my debut. It debuted Sunday Night Baseball in Dodger Stadium. Like, it was unbelievable.
And you probably didn't know at that time that you were going to hit that bomb in the playoffs, did you?
No.
Off that guy.
No. I stepped into the box, Sunday Night Baseball in my debut, and I was shaking. And I was like, I'm not waiting around. I'm going after the first pitch I saw. Fastball down the middle by Chad Billingsley and laced it up the middle for a knock, and I was like, got to first base, and it was like kind of like the weight was lifted off my shoulder. So, like, no, I had no idea that I was going to – like, if that moment would have came in today's game, I would have never even got that at bat. Left on left, like, no way they would have left me in that game to face one of the best left-handed, you know, pitchers in the game.
Let me just get to that right away. 2014 NLDS against Kershaw. I know you talked to Chris and Amy about it last show. But that's a lefty-on-lefty matchup, and that place was roaring before you hit it. So just take me into that moment. And you were already – you got some big moments under your belt, but this is as big as it gets.
Yeah, I mean, bottom of the seventh, we're down 2-0, I think. I think Holiday and Peralta were the guys on base. They got singles. And I step up to the box, and, you know, the thought that was going through my mind, I just wanted to get a pitch out over the middle part of the plate that I could, you know – put the barrel on and, you know, pass the baton to the next guy in the lineup. And I saw that big curveball pop out of his hand, and I just was telling myself, you know, don't get too big. Don't get too big. Just stay within yourself. And, you know, I took my nice, easy, smooth swing, And one of those moments where, like, you make such good contact that you don't feel the ball come off the bat. Like, I was like, ooh, that's it. And then I saw the ball, and, I mean, everybody knows, like, picture, like, arms up in the air. And then I see the ball, like, going down towards the outfield fence. Matt Kemp sprinting back. I'm like, oh, I better get on my horses. If that ball doesn't get out of the ballpark and I'm standing on first base, I'm gonna hear about it. But I saw the ball hit the bullpen turf and saw my teammates going crazy and I was like just rounding the bases. I was telling these guys earlier, like touching home plate, seeing the DeWitts front row, waving the white rally towel, going crazy, 50,000 plus. Stadium was running. It felt like the stadium was coming down.
You know what I love about that is that you remember details about the trip around the bases because, you know, a lot of guys who hit big home runs, they'll say it's a, you know, like a, they see the ball leave the bat, then they start running to first and they're not sure what happened until they get home. But you remember all the details.
Everything. That's incredible. Like what a lot of people don't realize, like, you know, once I celebrated with the guys in the dugout, did the curtain call, still the seventh inning, we have two more innings left. If we like, and we're only up by one run, so like I had to go down into the batting cages, lay down and catch my breath and like get my stuff together to go out there and finish the last two innings, because if we lost that game, we were going back to Dodger Stadium and play game five, and we did not want to hop back on that plane and go back to LA.
That place was absolutely rocking. As you said, I played this morning on the air the Vin Scully call of it. It's so good because you can hear his disappointment as a Dodgers broadcaster, but at the same time, his respect for the moment, the crowd. And then I love, he says, and Matt Adams jumping with sheer delight.
Yeah. Amazing.
I mean,
like,
it's
I'm
so
getting the
good chills
right now thinking about it because, like, yeah. That's the video of his, you know, his broadcast. That's a video that I pull up all the time. Like, why not listen to, you know, Hall of Famer call my home run against his own guy? Like, I'm like, I'm definitely, you know, that's a video that I watch multiple times a year.
So cool. You won a world championship with the Washington Nationals. That was, I'm sure, gratifying. Baseball is hard, and to get to the mountaintop, not many people get to do that.
Yeah, I mean, we started the year 19-32. First 51 games into the season, we were like, going into spring training, everybody's writing us off. And then we had that, you know, the first 50 games of the season, we were awful. And then we made a couple key, you know, we brought in Gerardo Parra, Anibal Sanchez. And those two guys kind of transformed our clubhouse, kind of, you know, brought everybody together as that family dynamic. And, yeah, the rest is history. We, you know, our motto that season after those 50 games was go 1-0 every day. Just win the day. And it kind of took the pressure off, took the, you know, the stress off, and we just focused at the job in hand day in and day out. And, you know, we at the end of the season, we looked up, and we were the last team standing holding that trophy in Minute Maid Park. Now it's not Minute Maid Park, but in Houston. So it was – that moment was something special.
What's the thing that you remember about that run the most? Is it the dog pile? Is it something after? Is it, you know, getting back above 500? What's the thing that really sticks out?
Probably the Howie Kendrick homer off the foul pole.
Oh yeah,
because I me and Parra were actually up in the cage with our, you know, our BP guy getting ready to possibly come in and pinch hit. You know, we were both lefties, so we were preparing. If that game went into extras or whatnot, we were ready for if our name got called. And then we hear the crowd kind of died down. And then we hear the actual ball hit the foul pole. And we run down into the dugout celebrating with Howie and the guy. It was just it was awesome. But even a cooler moment was the flight back to D.C. after, you know, we won. It was Halloween night. Everybody's little kids, we had trick-or-treat on the plane in the air, 40,000 feet in the air. The kids were, you know, everybody's passing the World Series trophy around. We had little kids walking down the aisle trick-or-treating. It was a fun group of guys and you know, a special moment that I'll...
What did you have to give to the kids? You didn't have those little airplane bottles of booze.
No. Those little bottles of booze were gone before we even took off. But no, all the wives kind of got together and had the little mini size snack like candies and whatnot. So it was awesome.
That happened in 13 going to Boston, but that's because the plane was stuck on the tarmac.
Yes.
The Cardinals, Red Sox. We're all sitting there. And the plane
brutal.
Never took out. It was brutal. It was long.
What was it, like 7 hours?
7 hours. The kids on the plane, they had to get a plane eventually from Atlanta to come get us because they didn't have any Delta planes.
Yeah.
They were big enough to get us. Freeze ordered pizza.
Pizza, Domino's. Yeah, I remember that. That was, wow. We had Domino's delivered on the tarmac, like, to the plane because we were sitting there.
We couldn't leave.
Back this up. Why couldn't you leave?
So they said, we're going to be delayed for a little while. We got to check a few things.
It was like a maintenance issue.
This is a charter flight.
Okay. So it was a big Delta plane with players, families, broadcasters. Everybody's on there. And they said, we can't take off. We got to wait for a little bit, and we'll be right back with you. Well, we waited for a while, and then eventually they said, here's the situation. We would have to deplane, rescreen everybody, which we did have to do.
Yep.
But for right now, there's nowhere for you to go, so we're going to sit right here, and then we're going to get a plane for you. And eventually they had to get a plane from Atlanta to fly, but that plane was delayed.
Yep.
So then that plane had to come up to get – oh, my gosh. It was before Game 6 of the World Series.
Yeah, it was awful. Awful. Yeah. But, yeah. I mean, we made the most of it.
Yeah.
Ordered Domino's and had a blast on the plane. So, yeah.
Who brought the Domino's to the plane? They're not letting the Domino's guy do it.
I don't remember.
I think security brought it to the plane, and then the flight attendant, the flight attendants got off and brought it on and just passed it out. Yeah,
it was great.
It was a good time.
It was a good team. I mean, you were right on the cusp of a World Series. A couple things go your way, and if, you know, David Ortiz doesn't go nuts.
I mean, I think he hit 800 the whole playoffs that year. Like I was telling somebody the other day, I was on a podcast talking about that 13 team and you know, how hot the Red Sox were that year. You could have bounced the ball twice to the plate, and Ortiz was still hitting that ball out of the ballpark. Like, he was so hot that, like, it didn't matter what you threw up there, he was getting a hit.
What an incredible run down memory lane. We're going to do it all hour, but also want to ask you what you think of this Cardinals team. We want to invite people to this Rally House location, too. Brentwood Point is the location. That's the one by Deerberg's, Chick-fil-A, right here in the heart of Brentwood in this incredible complex. Come see us, 8550 Eager Road. We're here for another hour at the Gas House Gang with Matt Adams. With Chris Ranji, I'm Tom Ackerman. Let's take a quick timeout, and then we'll come back and we'll get into more Gas House Gang.
And we do have a $100 gift card for Rally House we'll give away. You got to come up and sign up the box outside at the KMOX table, and you could win before the show is over.
All right. Sounds good to me. Quick timeout. Back in a moment. The Gas House Gang coming to you from Rally House in Brentwood Point right after this. Clayton Kershaw home run. Matt Adams, the 2014 NLDS at Busch Stadium against the Dodgers. Big City is with us with Chris Ranji. I'm Tom Ackerman. So if that's number one, what's number two for you in your career? You have one? Moment wise for you personally. First hit in the big leagues?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That first hit in Dodger Stadium, Sunday Night Baseball for sure. But, I mean, the obvious answer, holding the World Series trophy at the end of the season in 19. But personal moment, definitely after the Kershaw homer, definitely my first big league hit. And then the first big league homer, I did it at Busch a week later off Chad Qualls and the Phillies. So those are three good moments right there.
I think you hit three, right away, I want to say.
That was at the beginning of the 13 season, mm-hmm. back-to-back-to-back games. And it was like the first one I pinch hit for Lance Lynn. He was done. Pinch hit for him in the sixth, gave us the lead. And then the next two I got the start. One against Homer Bailey, and then the next one was against the Brewers.
Fans were all in then.
Yeah.
So when that happened, were you feeling yourself?
Yeah, like, I had my dad in the stands. Like, it was a cool moment. He was staying with
awesome.
Me, so like we were like – he was like, oh, let's put ESPN on after the game. We got back and watched the homer. Like, it was like my dad's like a big, like, little kid, like, when it comes to baseball. So it was cool to have him in the stands
for
that moment.
Awesome. My dad was the same way. Just, you know, forever a kid watching sports, and I'll always be that way. I bring it up because this tomorrow, I think, is really special.
Yeah.
And I know that people have been kind of grumpy about the Cardinals, let's be honest. I mean, they're, you know, I just got a text of somebody's like, what's the over-under on this one win total, 69.5? Are you going over-under? You know, everyone's a little down on it. But the big picture of this, you got a lot of young guys that are going to make it or not.
Yeah.
And they just don't know. There'll be a lot of butterflies tomorrow.
Yeah, 100%. But even before the game, like opening day in St. Louis is like a national holiday. Like you feel like you got the pep rally beforehand. You got the Clydesdales coming out for introductions. Guys riding around stadium in you know the backs of trucks being introduced and fans going crazy. That place is going to be sold out tomorrow. Like it always is for opening day. And like you said, yeah, a lot of youngsters, a lot of butterflies for sure. But it's their time to shine. You know, they got all the opportunity right there in front of them. It's whether they can, you know, grab hold of it and you know, go full steam ahead or they let the nerves get to them.
And we talk about opening day here like it's the best thing in the country, you know, the best opening day in the country. But, I mean, to be honest, we all don't experience opening day somewhere else. We don't get the opportunity to. You have. So how does this one compare to other towns?
Yeah, I mean, it's still definitely way up there. You know, it definitely is at the top of just the way the city puts on for opening day. It's I don't think there's another one like it. Like, just to be honest with you, I think this is, and I may be biased because I got to do it for, mm-hmm. you know, many of years and whatnot, but St. Louis does it right for sure.
Yeah, I totally agree. It's an experience unlike any other, and I'm just excited for J.J. Weatherholt.
Yes.
He is special. And, you know, if I'm Ollie, and Ollie may take whatever advice, but I think he's going to bat him lead off.
Yep.
And I think it's the right move, and he's the first guy to welcome in the new era.
Yep.
And he's special.
Yeah. He, you know, Heim talked about it a little bit at their exhibition in Springfield. The way that he carries himself like a veteran already. The way he goes about his business day in and day out, he acts like a big leaguer. He's got that confidence about him. He's got that swag about him. But he goes about it the right way. And he's not super flashy. He's not out there talking, you know, everybody's ear off. He leads by example. He lets his play speak for itself. And I'm super excited to watch him go about it this year.
And there are a bunch of different ways to do it. Some guys do talk, and some guys are flashy when they play, and that can work. It's about what you can handle mentally when things don't go well. So for Weatherholt, there's going to be a time where he struggles, maybe a time or two, could be more than that. It's about responding to it. As you see him, to me, and I'm not an expert in him. I've only spoken to him once or twice, I think, for a brief time, but it seems like somebody who would be able to handle that when they go through their first struggle.
Yeah, and you know, no sugarcoating. There is going to be a learning curve for him at this level. But I think he definitely has the mindset. He definitely has the ability to bounce back fast, and that's the name of the game. You know, being able to flush that bad stretch, and be able to get right back on it and show everybody that he's capable of doing it.
So for you, if you ever had a time like that, I mean, how did you respond the first time you really struggled or felt like, okay, it doesn't feel right? You know, what did you do and how were you able to come out of it?
It was a lot of like mental preparation. You know, if I had a bad game, I had a lot of bad games, a lot of offers. You know, I'd go home at night. I'd watch some video of, you know, what I felt was off or whatnot, but I made sure I got a good night's sleep and I stuck to my routine. I made sure that I had a routine that I was able to tie my confidence in. Because, you know, in the game of baseball, like, you can't tie your confidence into the hits that you're getting, because you could do everything right and still get out at the plate. So I tied my confidence into my routine, and that's what really allowed me to bounce back fast, was my mental preparation and then having a routine that I had confidence in.
What do you make of Jordan Walker? He's trying and struggling to get it right.
I think he needs to kind of limit the external noise. I think he's trying to grasp onto everything that's being thrown at him right now. He needs to really find and fine-tune one specific routine that he, you know, he can get his body feeling right to go compete at the highest level. And it's in there. We've seen glimpses of it. Look at the last game in Florida. He 2 for 3 with a bomb. When he barrels a ball, it's loud. So it's in there. It's just a matter of fact of you know, being confident in who you are. And I think he turns it around this year. I think he gets back to Jordan, what got Jordan Walker here to the big leagues. I think you see more of that in the 26th season.
And I think it's very easy to forget this because we've been talking about him for so long. The dude is young. He's 23 still.
Yeah.
You know, he's got a lot of time ahead of him.
Yeah, and I don't know, like some people say, like maybe he was rushed to the big leagues, like too fast, and like maybe he didn't have enough time at the minor league level to prepare and really understand who he was as a player. He had to learn it at the big league level, which is very, very hard to do. So I think, you know, if he can just have some good games, you know, he can tie that confidence in and be able to get back to being himself.
So, I mean, we've heard critics of him say, well, you know what, maybe he needs to go back to AAA, start there, and figure it out and then come up here. Isn't there some difficulty, and I guess I don't want to force you down a path here, but would it be tough for him to go to AAA, work on whatever he needs to, then come back here and face big league pitching again? Does he need to do that here?
That's a tough question. I think the leash has to be short. I think if he shows you the first week or two in the season that he's not cutting it, then maybe, you know, go down to AAA and get some everyday at bats and focus on working on some things. But I think he's going to be able to turn a curve. From the sounds of it, he had a great off season. You know, he focused on what he wanted to focus on, and there were, like I said, there was glimpses of it in spring training. I just hope once the season starts tomorrow that he's able to be consistent and have some confidence in himself.
Maybe, like you said, just get in the routine and stay in the routine and stay in it here until he gets it right. But we'll see. They've got some reinforcements if they need to. But for right now, they're going to stay with Jordan Walker out in right field. We're going to take a quick break. We're going to give you that opening day forecast. For tomorrow, you're going to do that. Can you do that?
Yeah.
Can you advance it one day?
Yeah, it's going to be 100 or something.
So hang in there. Ronge is going to have that for you. Right now, I want to tell you about something that's great for weather like this, and that is an outstanding patio. Just picture it. Outstanding patio or deck, or just an outdoor area that you can entertain your friends, or maybe on a Saturday morning it's just you and the dogs, and you're having a cup of coffee, and you're looking out at your new patio or deck. Chesterfield Fence and Deck can do that for you. They're the very best in St. Louis and have been since 1968. That's how far back they go. Great company, Chesterfield Fence and Deck. Yes, they're located in Chesterfield Valley, but they serve the entire area. And speaking of that, you want to talk about a great display? Their showroom at Chesterfield Fence and Deck in Chesterfield Valley is incredible. As soon as you walk in there, there's a sunroom on your right, a screen room, and then you just walk your way down. You can see they built an outdoor kitchen area where you can make food outside, a bar, show you every possibility. You can touch and feel all the different fencing. It's a great place, Chesterfield Fence and Deck. ChesterfieldFence.com. Mention me, Tom Ackerman. 48 months interest-free financing on your next outdoor project with Chesterfield Fence and Deck. The sign you have, the
absolutely destroyed off the bat of Adams.
Oh, yeah. Was that Danny Mac?
Yeah, that's my guy. Oh, man, some good times. Did Freeze give you the Big City nickname? I don't remember.
Berkman did.
Berkman, that's right.
Berkman did. Berkman came up and kind of put his arm around me one spring training and was like, hey, this is back whenever I was a bigger dude, like, a lot heavier. He was like, I'm tired of big guys being nicknamed Big Country, so we're going to call you Big City. And then once Berkman left in 13, Freeze kind of kept it rolling, and it just stuck. Like, I love the nickname. Like, that's like people, like, they'll call me City, like Big City. Like, it's, I think it just rolls off the tongue. It's a cool nickname.
It is cool.
There's a bar in Chicago called Big City.
Really?
Big City Tap, late night place. A lot of bad stuff happens.
Should
there.
Have invested in that.
You know what? I have this question about Berkman. One of you guys confirm this for me, because I swear he has told this story about when he was in college. I think he was playing left field, and a plastic bag had blown onto the field. Do you know this story?
Oh, yeah. Okay. He tells it to everybody.
Yeah, okay, okay. I'm just making sure I've got this right. Where the plastic bag is out there, the ball, somebody hits a ball out there, the ball goes into the bag, he goes and gets it out of the bag to throw it into the infield, guys running around the bases, and as he picks the ball out, he throws it back into the bag? Is that what happened? It was something like that, right?
Something like that, but the ball definitely got stuck in the bag multiple times.
Yes, that's right.
Yeah. I'm not sure if he threw it back in the bag or not, but that's so
yeah,
Berkman-esque.
And his coach said something like, "You're the worst outfielder I've ever seen." Right? It was something to that effect. Yeah.
That's exactly it. It was blown around and went right into the bag.
Yeah.
He also tells the story of Game 5 in Houston in 2005. So Lidge against Pujols. Mm-hmm. So before that, he said he had the hit, I do believe, it was a home run, if I'm not mistaken, that put the Astros on top. And he said, I said a little prayer, and I said, "Lord, you know, please let this be it. Like, we want to get to the World Series, and this be the moment." He said, so when there were two on and Pujols is facing Lidge, he said it was so loud. And when Albert hit the ball, it got so quiet, he said, that I could hear his spikes
in the dirt,
like in the dirt as he rounded first, and I watched him go around the bases and he scored, and I was like, "Lord, this is not the deal that we had." I mean, it's he told the great story.
He was such a great teammate, and like he was a guy that really understood how to keep that clubhouse loose and light and pick the spots, when to have fun, when to lock it in and be a little bit more serious. But like, God, I'm so grateful that I got to share a clubhouse with him and hear all the great stories and whatnot. He was a gamer. It was awesome.
You've played with some greats. Yadier Molina is one of them. He's going to be a Hall of Famer, certainly a Cardinals Hall of Famer. Looks like this year he'll get inducted. And he and Albert Pujols both are, it sounds like they want to become managers. We've talked a lot about that. And I know you know Yadi pretty well. Is he suited for that role? And if he is, what about him would make him a good manager? Because it's not the job a lot of people think necessarily.
Yeah, he's 100% like manager type guy. Like he lives, breathes, like eats, sleeps the game of baseball. Like he understands it. He's a guy that's five steps ahead of the competition. Like he just, the way that he prepared whenever he was a player, and I got to believe that he would do the same thing once he gets that manager role. Cause it's not if he gets it, it's when he gets it. He's going to be a manager at the big league level. And I think the way that he's just able to lead people, he commands the room when he walks in it. When he speaks, people kind of shut up and listen because it's Yadi, and he did it at the highest level for so long, and one of the best catchers to ever play the game of baseball. So he definitely gets the game, and I'm just excited to see when he gets that job. His team's going to be really good.
The other part of it is it's not the X's and O's. It's not the game. It's the nonsense you have to deal with as a manager. You know, talking to us, talking to the press every day, dealing with all of that. There's a lot of outside noise. And you've talked about coaching, and you've done some already. That part is challenging, too.
Yeah, I think, but from the player's side, you learn how to handle the media. You learn, like, and maybe Yadi wasn't the greatest at when he was playing. Like, he was so locked in and focused to, like, preparing for the game that he didn't really want to give the media too much time. Like, he did, like, to a certain degree, but, like, he wasn't disrespectful. He went about it the right way, but he was so laser focused on preparing night in and night out for the job at hand. But yeah, I mean, you gotta be able to learn. You gotta be a people person. You gotta learn to talk to the media. You gotta learn to be able to from the manager seat. You gotta be able to learn to control your staff, make sure that everybody's in line. And a guy like Albert or a guy like Yadi, they're gonna do that. I mean, look at what they did in the WBC and yep. the winter ball teams that the two of them managed. Those teams are prepared night in and night out to go out there and put the best effort on the field.
Absolutely. I'm here to tell you that the manager, part of the job is taking heat, taking criticism, taking abuse from fans. La Russa took it, Matheny, Schilt, and now Ollie certainly takes it. And by the way, he's only coached or managed, a handful of games, and Mark DeRosa just learned. He's got a piece of it, too.
Yeah.
He just learned what that's all about. And I have a lot of respect for Ollie. Now, I may not always agree with what he does in his moves, but I have a lot of respect for him for a lot of reasons. First of all, he is great with us, but that's beside the point. He came in an awkward situation. When Schilt got fired, Ollie was promoted, and not everybody was happy with how that went down. He also, remember, he managed a division champion with a lot of big voices in there. Yachty, Pujols, Waino, you name them, were in there, and I think he did a very good job of managing the team but also respecting them. Now I feel like he has a good situation. He has young players that he can manage. How do you see Ollie's tenure here so far? This is year five.
Yeah, I think Ollie's done a great job. Like you said, I think he's kind of got thrown into the fire early on and had to navigate some tough times. But I got a lot of respect for Ollie. I got to play for him. He was an infield guy with Akendo and our first base coach. For a while, he's a great baseball guy. He's a Cardinal guy in and out. He understands the organization. He understands the magnitude of the seat that he holds, especially, during this little rebuild that we're going through right now. But I think he's doing a great job, and I'm excited. Like to your point, this team that he's got this year, it's a younger core group, but it's guys that he can get his hands on and really teach them the ropes and kind of lead them in the right direction.
With the way baseball is now and modern baseball, it's changed and over the years it's different how I think managers handle their teams, their rosters, their relationships with the front office. So as a former player, what do you think the most important job of a manager is?
Ooh, that's a great question. I think it's obviously the clubhouse that he's got now, there's not a superstar in the room. I guess Mason Wynn probably is the biggest name that he's got. I think it's dealing with those kind of guys, making sure that you give them respect, but also letting them go out there and do your thing. And like to your point, when Ollie had Albert, Yachty, Waino, he did such a good job of trusting and respecting that they were prepared on a daily basis, that he didn't get in their way. I think a lot of managers kind of get too much in the way of their players in the clubhouse, of the way they prepare and whatnot. They want to have their hands in a little bit of everything. So I think the good managers kind of take a step back and really trust the group that they got inside that clubhouse to go out there and compete.
Is that something you think people, fans, misunderstand about managing, that they think it's more hands-on than it actually is?
Well, yeah, I think to Tom's point, I think a lot of the normal fan, they don't really understand what all that manager has to deal with on a daily basis. They think they just have to write the lineup and let their team go play. That's not it at all. They from the moment they wake up to the moment they go to sleep, they're having to make phone calls, talk to the media, see if their guys are healthy enough to be in the lineup. They're touching, bases every step of the way. And I think the typical fan doesn't really understand what all entails, what goes into a manager's day.
I really believe this, that even those that are on the inside, and I'm talking about, we get some great access, the broadcasters do, nobody really knows what's going on in the clubhouse and the status of what's happening in there, except for the manager and the players and the staff.
Yep.
That's it.
Yeah.
And there's stuff that can't be revealed sometimes.
Yeah.
About what's going on.
That's why those doors lock whenever you just can't walk in there and open those doors up. I wish that there was a way to kind of let some of that stuff out to the public, so the public had a better understanding of what went on in there. But if that did, it wouldn't be the same. You would kind of lose some guys' trust, respect. Like, what happens in those closed doors? Like, it's special.
Well, what about, okay, this is a thing, because I worked with a team for a long time, and one of the biggest challenges I felt like I had was trying to explain what a hitting coach can and can't do. And now we're moving to that position, and the hitting coach takes a lot of heat whenever a team isn't performing offensively. First thing people do is go for the hitting coach sucks. Got to fire him, got to get somebody else. What is that job actually? What is the relationship between the player and the hitting coach?
It's a great question as well. I think, you know, a really, and I had some good ones in my day. A really good hitting coach, they have to handle 26 different guys' swings, because every swing is different. Every guy's mechanics is different. So you have to understand, you know, what mechanics work for every individual. But you also have to be able to give that guy confidence before the game, because a lot of guys will do pre-game warm-ups just to get their body warmed up before they go stretch and get ready. That they have to kind of boost your confidence a little bit. Like, so you go out there in the field, you feel like you're ready to go to battle, and you're going to win that battle. So I think it's tiptoeing the line of like talking mechanics, talking like the art of hitting, but also being able to like give the guys confidence of, you know, letting them know that, hey, you know, you're a bad dude. Go out there and show it. Mm-hmm. Like, those are the best hitting coaches.
That's Matt Adams with Chris Ronji. I'm Tom Ackerman. We are at Rally House Brentwood Point. We've had a lot of people coming in and out of here. It's a fantastic place to buy not only Cardinals gear, but we see Blues, Mizzou, SLU, Battlehawks, City, you name it. They've got it all here. We're going to come back with a lot more, but first I want to hear about FanDuel.
You want to hear about FanDuel?
Yep.
Well, you want to hear about the baseball season?
Yes.
FanDuel is letting you choose your own reward for opening week, and that's a betting customization that transforms how you experience the game. You can make your choice, and the reward will be ready to use on your next MLB bet. How about this? FanDuel is the home of home runs, and right now, Aaron Judge, 48.5. That's a total for, what do you think, over or under, Matt Adams? Over?
Over.
Over 48.5. That's what Matt Adams thinks. So if you're ready to play your game, go to FanDuel.com/Missouri, FanDuel.com/Missouri, and choose your reward for MLB's opening week. FanDuel is an official partner of Major League Baseball. Must be 21 or over and present in Missouri. Opt-in required. Rewards are non-withdrawable. Restrictions apply, including bonus and token expiration, leg requirements, and max wager amount. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Now back to the Gas House Gang.
Sponsored by Celica Heating and Cooling. And by Overhead Door Company of St. Louis. And Chesterfield Fence and Deck.
On 104.1 FM, KMOX.
All right, just a few minutes left, so let's do this big drawing. This is for a $100 gift card to Rally House. We're at the Brentwood Point location, 8550 Eager Road. I'm telling you, this is a great place to buy all of your sports gear. They have St. Louis and beyond. Matt Pajeski is holding a box full of entries, and Matt Adams is going to reach in and pull out a winner.
A winner. This is going to be a winner. And then when he's done with this and we're done with the show, I have to go find a hat for Bernie. Bernie has been bothering me to get him a cap. I'm going to get him a cap here today.
All right. Special winner for the $100 gift card, Christina Jordan.
Christina Jordan.
Wow.
Where's Christina from?
She's from Hazelwood.
Hazelwood, wow. Christina. All right, what's her phone number?
All right, Christina, thanks for stopping in, and thanks for putting in an entry. You got yourself a $100 gift card. See how easy that was?
That's awesome.
Good. I bet you could still hit. I bet you could still hit some bombs.
Yeah, I've actually joked around with my wife. I want to get back in the cage. Last year we had a reliever that was coming back from injury, and he needed somebody to stand in and face him live. And I put the uniform on. We had a one flapper in the back of the storage room. I threw that on and went 1-for-3 off of him.
So yes.
My body still feels great. I feel like I could still get out there and do it, but I'm really, really excited for this next chapter.
I just saw Barry Bonds on a podcast. It might have been, does Rick Barnes have a podcast? I don't know, whatever. But and somebody asked him, this was yesterday, if, you know, could you hit 102 right now? And Barry says, if I can see it, I can hit it. I mean, that guy, he's almost 60, that dude.
When you have it, you have it.
Yeah, right?
Yeah. Yeah, when you have it, you have it. Especially that guy.
Yeah, that was like the old line, Stan Musial. They said, you know, what would you hit today? And he said, you know, probably 270, 275. They're like, Stan, you're 331 lifetime hitter. He goes, well, I am 70 years old.
I love that.
Oh, that's amazing.
We have a listener, Ken, who is watching us on YouTube. I guess he's a viewer. He says, when I'm down about Cardinals baseball, I rewatch Matt Adams' joy when he homered off of Kershaw.
Myself included.
That's for, I'm having a bad day. Let me go watch this.
Right?
Yeah, there are some YouTube videos you just have to keep in your rotation, and that is one for sure.
Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah.
Man, I love this. It's great having you on KMX.
Yeah, thanks for having me. This is fun. This is fun. I tell everybody, everybody's like, what do you want to do? And I was like, I love media. I love being on camera. I love being on TV. I love talking about the game of baseball. Love telling stories about, you know, my playing career, my teammates. So, yeah, this is fun.
That's one of the best things about this sport is being able to sit around and talk about it. I still maintain the best show maybe that our station ever had is Live at Shannon's. And we started talking about Mike Shannon. I'm going to close it with Mike Shannon because I think about him a lot this time of year with opening day tomorrow. He loved opening day and loved our fans. We're going to say goodbye from this location, but you're back tomorrow with the big dog, and you're going to find – no, you're not. You're with me tomorrow.
With you, pal.
We're off the Gas House game tomorrow, but we're at opening day. But you got my point is you got to find a hat for the big dog.
I'm going to go find Bernie's hat here in a minute.
We don't want to take up any more time for the DGS. They are coming up next. And then don't forget our full coverage of opening day starts tomorrow at 9 a.m. for Matt Adams, for Chris Ronji, for Matt Pajeski, for Jim Huer. And our team here, Lindsey Wright, has done a tremendous job. I'm Tom Ackerman. So long from the Rally House location of Brentwood Point.